An Etch-A-Sketch. Did anybody play with an Etch-A-Sketch when they were growing up? Can I get any Etch-A-Sketchers? Look at this. All generations. Look at this. All different races. Look at that. It doesn't matter. You know what? For all I know, they maybe go back so far that I don't even know. Amen? But the one thing everybody loves about an Etch-A-Sketch, right? No matter what you're making and no matter what you're twisting and you got the lines to go on it, oh, you really start making a line or you start making a little bunny or whatever you start making. Oh, man. I messed that up. What do you do when you mess it up, you? You shake it, right? You shake that thing and start it over. Are you with me? Now, look, I know some of y'all are like, man, I can't even see the line. Now, listen, I didn't say I wasn't a good budgeter, amen. I didn't get the quality kind, amen. You might have to squint to see the line, but listen to me. Say Etch-A-Sketch. This gives you a token of remembrance that, you know what? If I mess it up, shake it and remake it. Are you with me? Come on. Say shake it and remake it. You know what? It wasn't that you were on the wrong content. Maybe you got a line out of place. Maybe you was trying to write your name in cursive and you made a little mistake. But if you make a mistake, what do? And? Do what? And? Come on, somebody. Somebody, come on. Let's give God a big praise offering. He wants us to do that in our life as well. How many know some of us want to hold on to the picture and it's all messed up? That's a good word. I can fix it. Well, I'm not going to, you know what? Until they come to me, I'm not even going to shake it off. Say shake it. And then do what? You know what? Don't break out the relationship. Forgive and shake it. And let God do what? Remake it. Somebody say amen. Bring up that first screen if you will. Now let's get started.
How to accomplish what you have never seen before. How to accomplish what you have never seen before. Can I get you to say that with me? Ready, set, read. How to accomplish what you have never seen before. How to accomplish what you've never seen before. Here we go. This is the account of the transitional time of Israel going from wilderness to promises and the story of Joshua. The message recounts and emphasizes Joshua chapter 1, verses 5 through 9, how the Lord speaks a confident commission, infinite wisdom, and great encouragement to Joshua that led to his accomplishments. Thank you. This message has life-changing directing potential for you. The inert potential to be powerful, prophetic, and profound when properly paralleled to the pertinence of you and any of our lives. Please note, this is the continuation and second message which builds upon what we passionately framed in message one. This is the account of the there is something odd. I don't know what's going on. Like Joshua had never seen before. What this deals with is how Joshua was commissioned by God to take the children of Israel into the promised land. And though they had won battles before, though they had had victories in other areas of their lives, though they had seen supernatural miracles come to their lives, this was something that he nor the children of Israel that were living had ever seen before. Are you with me? So therefore, we want to look at things that maybe God has put on your heart or called you to. And as you look at those things that God has called to you or prophesied to you, or he's spoken to you, or he's brought a dream to you, or a vision, or it's just a deep down desire within you, it may be something that you have never seen before. People came up to us last week. People called. People were checking with other people because somehow this particular message was prophetically spoken in a manner in such a way that it struck a chord with people that are dealing with and going through things that they have never seen before. Are you with me? So we're going to go very quickly and swiftly, whoever has the control. In other words, to own your own business or to be an entrepreneur or to be an entrepreneur. So therefore, to start your own business, to do what? Some of us are right now in our marriage. We may have several years behind us, or we may be newly married, and we're right at the brink of wanting, go to the next screen, if you will, of desiring pregnancy. You see, next one. I told you it was odd. No, it's not. It's going backwards. So maybe I should do it just backwards. Okay. In other words, some couples and some marriages are together desiring to have pregnancy. Are you with me? Are you with me?
Yes.
Well, we also realize there are some people praying and seeking and doing everything they can to reach for God and potentially the right way of going about it biblically and scripturally and spiritually correct. But we're going after those things and potentially the things we're asking God for. Perhaps we've never even seen them before. Are you with me? Some of us are desiring to be in relationships, marriages. Some of us may be found in mid-age, and we're not sure if any people in our particular age or people that have kept themselves morally and doing things and living purely for God and keeping themselves consecrated and waiting upon their mate and doing the things that God has created and called them to do. They're wondering, well, God, are you late? Am I late? Should I take this on my own? Whatever it might be. God wants you to know that he understands and he's been hearing your prayers. Are you with me? And even though you've never seen it before, how many understand it doesn't mean that God can't accomplish it? Praise God. Well, look at this. What about those that are in degrees and majors? And I was ministering with one of our members this week that right now have been put on TE and maybe potentially even in probation or having to take a semester off from the school or whatever kind of situation it might be. Have you ever been there? The issue is, whatever you're going through, how many understand, just because you're going through it and you've never maybe perhaps ever seen it before, somebody coming out of something so depth of great depth, God is still well able to do it. You might be in various positions and you're not sure which one to choose. Maybe you've got two different careers going on right now. You've interviewed with five of them and two of them have called you back, but they are totally distinctively different and there's pros and cons to each and you're not sure which way to go on that. That's all right. How many understand, though you're in that complexity, God goes before you. So therefore, we understand some people want to make a life comeback. Maybe you feel like you've had a setback. Maybe spiritually you feel like you're in a backslidden state. Whatever it might be, you're in the midst of a comeback. And if you're in the midst and a readiness for a comeback, how many understand God is well able to meet you where you are? So therefore, it says, what about hearing from God, believing of God, and you feel unprepared? I like this picture because the headphone says that I'm hearing. I've got God connected. I'm not distracted by what's going on in the world. I'm trying to hear from God. The Bible says that we would know his voice. So therefore, I'm trying to plug in to his voice. Are you with me? So therefore, though God's telling you to do one thing, sometimes we feel like we're unprepared. Some of us right now in situations was visiting with another couple and they're not sure when they're going to retire or how they're going to retire or are they going to be unemployment or what the situation might be. But here it is, God wanting to put in your heart to retire early and live well, not retire early and struggle. Are you hearing me? Scripture says God wants to bless those, or he gives and make you rich, but he adds no sorrow to it. Are you with me? God doesn't want to bless you and then you be sad about how he blessed you. That would make sense. Amen. Praise God. And then what about those? And this could be any and many of us that feel like past failures, hurts, pains, or self-limiting habits are broken us to such a degree that I can't be better than I am. Like we're almost in some kind of state, a casting state, like in the Eastern societies. No. There's no caste system. Jesus Christ is the only elevator I need. And wherever he takes me, I'm willing to go. All right. Therefore, these are just straight scriptures, even though they're broken up. I want to list out for you what the word of God says to Joshua about how. Listen, this is not a time to fade out. You only got a few minutes anyway, man. Listen, this is the time to plug in. Put your headphones on, invisible, and plug in to what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Are you with me? So listen, these are just straight scriptures, but broken up in such a way with the underlinings as being your bullet points of what God has listed out of how to accomplish what you've never seen before. The underlines are what you want to write down to understand what God is giving answers to, how to accomplish what you've never seen before. This is what God spoke directly to Joshua. Here it is, starting at verse 5. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Somebody say amen. Amen. How many understand that begins to lower your fear? That doesn't matter how big they are. I'll give you an example. There's been situations that I've been in before. Okay, maybe all my situations being how small I am, right? Where people are big and huge, like Hayward, for instance, right? Now, how I'm going to say, send a message back to my wife, right? No, Hayward, we're not going to let you speak today. No. I mean, understand, this man is huge, right? Crush my wife, me, and my children. Right? So, but here's the issue. I have sincerely been in spiritual situations. I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm not trying to get you to think highly of me. That's not the intent. I'm just being very real. I've been in some very spiritual situations where my life is being threatened by the person I am with. I was once in a situation where I was dealing with a couple and whatever the case may be. And the man picked me up like I was a child and set me down in order to tell me in an intimidating fashion, I will do to you whatever I want to do. What I'm saying to you is when you get in circumstances like that, it's not about how big and how bad and, oh, I come from St. Louis. Man, please, come from St. Louis and we'll kick you back to St. Louis. But right there in that situation, this becomes real. No man will be able to stand before you. Look at him just like this. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Until they submit, because every knee must bow. Amen. And every tongue must confess that Jesus is Lord. I'm not trying to scare you, but some things you fighting is not flesh and blood. Amen. See, I can cry about this. I didn't mean for this to happen, but I actually had a man of God with me the other day when it happened. And he saw the whole thing go down. And he said, I don't know how to describe it, but I know it changed. The atmosphere changed. So I'm not playing here. Are you with me? Yeah. you know what some of y'all are thinking? Well, that won't work for me. I'm trying to buy a car. We was buying a car one time. And you know, they try to intimidate you. You know what? And then the guy comes up and says, well, I think you should be looking at a different car. Could you please put down the figure, sir? I mean, we walked away with that car. Am I getting real enough for you now? That's spiritually recognizing that no man will be able to stand before you. Somebody say amen. Amen. All right, look at this. He says, just as I was with Moses. And how many know Moses had it going on? How many say Moses was in construction? He was like a civic engineer with a stick. Right? He like worked for DOT, or maybe it was like DOI, Department of Israel. I don't know. Right? Let's head out. Joshua was there when he did it, right? So he's like, ooh, man, he was like there with Moses. I got it going on. I will be with you. Say, God will be with me. Turn to your neighbor and say, do not doubt. Do not doubt. God said he'll be with us. This is what else it says. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Forgot to go backwards. Sorry. So be strong and courageous. For you shall cause this people to inherit the land I swore to their fathers to give them. Does there have to be issues with what God gives? You know, isn't that a something about God? God gave them something, but then we still had to go beat up folk to get it. Everybody with me? So in other words, God can give you something, but we still got to be strong and courageous to go possess it. Amen. Therefore, God wants to give you what he promised you, but then we have to be strong and courageous to go get it. Okay, so here we go. Read them out loud with me. Ready, set, read. Only be strong and very courageous. How many know this is the second time he says it? And it's in the very next verse. It's in the very next sentence. God has literally an inexhaustive vocabulary. Why is he telling us the same thing twice? How many understand it's that important? He's trying to get to convince Joshua to be strong. And then this one says very courageous. Say be strong. And very courageous. Be careful to do according to all that Moses, my servant, commanded you. It says, do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left. Or that is to say, be single-eyed focused. Don't be distracted that you may have good success. That word success in the Hebrew means to act wisely. To act wisely. Say act wisely. So therefore, he says, wherever you what? Now, this is very important. Is that video ready? We're ready to play that video, if you will, please. Forgot to go. Are you ready for that video? Thank you. I'll give it to you. Not that picture. But it says, I will be with you. God says, I will be with you. And the part I want you to see in this little short video, this little briefing, is that what we've got to come in this depiction is that we can be strong and courageous, not because of who we are, but because the Father is with us. I'm going to say that again. We can be strong and courageous, not because of who we are, but because of our Father who is with us. So we've got to gain a greater depth that God is with us. We cannot understand that we've got to go get God. Or that I've got to be living right so that God might come and hang out with me. No, 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 no. God is with us. God is for us. And New Testament, God is in us. Amen. Therefore, it's more about recognizing and tapping that God is with us. No, we're not just talking about omnipresent. We're talking about manifested with us. Somebody say amen. Amen. Are we ready? Not yet. Tell you what. When you're ready, you let me know. Okay. Y'all gonna make me preach that without anything. Okay. You say preach, brother, huh? Okay. I'm gonna preach. I need somebody with a microphone. There we go. Thank you very much. Huh? Oh, they're ready to go. Oh, I tell you. Do it. And everybody said, amen. What a beautiful depiction. And don't get entrapped or caught by just simply that actual situation, knowing that we have many track runners and watched them on yesterday and things like that. But be kind of consumed with the prophetic parallel that the father broke out the crowd and came to see about his child. And in the midst of coming to see about his child, he was there to be with him. No matter what he was going to do, he was going to go through it with him. I'm telling you, we've got a Father in heaven. We've got Jesus sitting on the right hand of the Father, and we've got the Holy Spirit within us. And we may feel like we're in agony. We might even go through a particular pain, but it doesn't mean we have to give up, because the Father is within us to finish what God began in us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Listen to this. In verse 8, it says this: the book of the law, read it with me, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. In other words, the word of God needs to be internalized in us daily. The word of God should be internalized in us daily. In order to accomplish what you've never seen before, the word of God becomes the source and the power by which you are able to finish what you began. It's the word of God that is internalized and daily put within us, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. In other words, when we have the word of God exposed to our lives, then we must act upon the word that he shows and shares with us. Can I get anybody in the back corner to say amen? God wants his word to be internalized. And from the internalization of it, then we have to act upon that word to finish, accomplish, and complete that which he began in us. Remember, it was him, God, who told Joshua, now it's time for you to have all of Israel inherit the promised land that I have provided or given to him. So God began it. God wants to be the content of it. And God wants to finish it with you. So therefore it says, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. And everybody said amen. Amen. Look at this in verse 9. It says, have I not commanded you? Boy, that's really good. And I can only spend a little bit time on it. I hope you're writing notes. I think you should be writing notes if you want to accomplish something in life, right? It says commanded. Everybody say commanded. That word commanded, think about this. This is not something we need to run away from. This isn't something like God has given us a bunch of rules, but he has given us an encouragement. He's given us a challenge. He's given us a charge. The actual Hebrew means a charge. It means to do something that is going to charge us. Or one definition means this. You'll love this. It means he ordained it to be so. Therefore, God is ordaining us to be strong and courageous. He ordained us to be strong and courageous. And this is the third time he says it in 5 verses. Therefore, God is telling us the way to accomplish what we have never seen before is not so much in our expertise, not so much in our intellect. It wasn't based on our SAT scores. It wasn't based on how high I jumped, David. It was based on being strong and courageous. And if anybody in this house has anything to accomplish, I just think you should scream out strong and courageous. Hallelujah. Listen to this. He says, do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. All of those words have to do with fear. And how many understand it's fear that traps us? How many know it's fear that traps us? There's all kinds of fears, and I'm going to make sure I can go through a few of them in the message. Look at this. And it says, for the Lord your God is what? How many times has he said this in a short few 5 verses? God wants us to know not to be strong and courageous, and that I am with you. Strong and courageous, and that I am. 2 things God is communicating: to be and I am. To be what? And that he says, wherever you go. Hallelujah. So please pay attention. This is how the Old Testament Joshua applies to New Testament believers. Are you ready for some teaching? Israel was delivered from Egypt's degrading bondage. Well, God speaks through history to give an example of our deliverance from the degrading bondage of sin. Has anybody been delivered from sin? Amen. Amen. Look at what it says. The central act of redemption, say redemption, in the New Testament is the work of Jesus on the cross. But the central act of redemption in the Old Testament is the deliverance of Israel from Egypt. So just as it is in the New Testament, we already had understanding that it took place in the. Because it took place with Moses and Joshua then it must be taking place with us when? Come on, somebody. Amen. Look at this. Israel led by Moses wandered in the Sinai wilderness. Today, if and when we are found wandering, we are supernaturally provided for as we are preparing for accomplishing our own possessing, the place of learning and revering God's righteous standards and holiness. If you feel like you're in a holding pattern right now, it's because you're in school. God is training you. God is teaching you. God is causing you to experience lessons so you begin to know his ways, where you begin to depend on his standards, where you understand what holiness is and righteousness is. No, God doesn't want to hold anything back from you. He wants us to mature so he can give you everything you can handle. Amen. Glory to God. So look at what it says here. You see, the land of Canaan represents the destination of God's people after they have been set free from degrading bondage. Not our ultimate destination. Suggest that Canaan represents heaven. No, Canaan does not represent heaven. Biblically, the land over the Jordan is the promised land, and it does not speak of heaven. But rather, Hebrews 3-4 shows Canaan as a picture of, look at that, the rest and victory that can be enjoyed by every believer. You see, Jesus has made provision for us to have health and wealth and prosperity and good relationships and all the things necessary for living the abundant life. But he showed it to us in tangible form in the Old Testament. And what he did in the Old Testament, he is doing in our lives today in the New Testament. Man, good teaching. I guess I have to preach it to myself. In this sense, F.B. Meyer connects the book of Joshua with the book of Ephesians. Both describe a spiritual walk of promise, wealth, and victory that are ours with Jesus. So, this also shows that the deliverance from Egypt was only in preparation for the enjoyment of Canaan. In other words, they had to first be delivered, and then God had to get that enslaved mentality out of them before they became wealthy people, because it is a hindrance when people with enslaved minds enter into many promises of wealth. Because if you don't have the maturity and the character to hold on, sustain what God wants to give you, as soon as you get it, you'll lose what he gave you. If that was not the case, how many understand just by this promise alone that we would grow into maturity, we could cause a decrease in how many divorces exist in our country? Amen. Got three amens. Praise the Lord. And one well. Amen. How many understand if we have the character to keep that office and corporate job, then there's a great potential that we would not have lost it. Isn't that a good word? Say, God must grow me to handle what he wants to give me. Now, I know that chides against you a little bit because you just want the goodies. Like the Burstein Bears, right? We can't help for having the gimmies. How many understand you can have as much candy as you want if you know how to eat it in moderation? Boy, that's good. That's just great preaching. I was just bothering your Valentine candy, wasn't I? Come on, let me preach this real quick. Look at this, y'all. The wilderness is never God's permanent destination for us. This is far better preaching than you're shouting. Listen, the wilderness is never God's permanent destination. Can I tell us what that means? God doesn't want us in a perpetual state of wandering. God doesn't want us in a perpetual state of just walking around and unsure. How many understand you can't be here 5 years and still haven't declared a major? Amen. How many understand? Listen, it's not of any kind of form of God's preparation for us when his voice is available to us that we can still be in the same state 4 and 5 years later than when we first started. Somebody say amen. All we're saying is that God wants us to go from enslavement into wandering and wandering into the promises. Does anybody want that? That's how we accomplish what we've never seen before. Even as an entire generation of Israel died in the wilderness. So many Christians die in the desert dryness of spiritual experience, never walking in the fullness of what God has for them. Please hear me. I know many of us believe that once we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we're born again. We have inherited eternal life, and therefore we're walking around and we're saved. True. That's just the beginning. Amen. God's got so much more for us. And how many understand the so much more is not dependent on possessions and material things? God's got so much more for you. If he blew your mind because he forgave you, how much more will he blow your mind if he gave you more of the Holy Spirit? Are you with me? How much more have you went through that depression and rejection from your parents? And God says, when father and mother reject you, I, the Lord, will lift you back up. How many understand? I've been coming into contact with more and more ladies that have been in abusive situations, sitting all over this church in people's houses, and people have gone through abuses, and women have been married and they've been abused, and maybe they're in their second or third marriage, and they should not be able to have to live like that. And it makes me cry every single time. My God, what Jesus can do for you, though, is cleanse you from the past and cause you to be healed on the most innermost part of your being, and you'll forget about it to the degree where you'll say, I forgive him, for he knew not what he did. That's the type of unconditional love and agape that God wants to show us and flow through us so that we become agents of a heaven that literally forgives men of sin and calls you to live a brand new life. You are not supposed to be depressed. You're not supposed to be poor. You're not supposed to go without. Our God wants us to accomplish even though we've never seen it before. You've heard my testimony. I only got one. Are you with me? My family, member after member, and I'm not downing them, but I grew up with everybody had a divorce. Everybody had a brand new husband. Everybody. And my God, I have something as a 13-year-old boy and says, I'm not going to do that. I want to be married forever. I want one wife for life, and we're going to grow old together and drink tea together, and we're going to have our grandchildren over, and we're not going to meet up at Casey's. Nothing wrong with that, but we're not going to have to meet up at Casey's and get in this car and get in that car. I want one wife for the rest of my life, and thanks be unto God, even though I never seen it, I'm living it in Jesus' name. Say, God's got more.
God's got more.
You see, Peter steps out the boat and walks on water. Did you hear me? Listen, Peter steps out the boat and walks on what? Now, here's a quick revelation. But Jesus was in front of him, and Jesus was doing it. So he had the opportunity to do what he had actually seen before, even though he had never seen it in his own life. Are you hearing me? So therefore, Jesus is walking on water. Peter's like, bid me to come. We've got to have a hunger to want to do the things of where Jesus is. That was a good word. So here he is. He said, come. And I want you to see this. Peter gets out the boat and he begins to walk to Jesus. Now, I know you know the story, but I want to put this in the context of the message. Check this out. He sees Jesus and he accomplishes what he's seen before. Yeah. Is everybody with me? Yeah. So he's walking on water. Oh, this is awesome. And then he hears or watches the bolstering of the winds and begins to sink down. In other words, right in the midst of him accomplishing what he never seen, what he has seen before, he failed. Are you with me? But when he cried out to Jesus, Jesus caught him, lifted him back up, and therefore now, even though he was failing, is anybody there? He then now starts accomplishing, even though he had failed at it. Oh, some of y'all not getting it. There are some people in here that you started off well. You started off well in marriage. You started off well with your children. You started off well in school. But you began to find some situations and areas in your life where you began to sink or fail. That's all right. Jesus picks you back up and now you're able to accomplish it all over again. You see, people talk about the miracle of Peter walking on water. There's a better or greater miracle that people talk about less often. Is that, yes, he got out the boat to walk to Jesus on the water. He sinks down, comes back up with Jesus. But how do you know he walked on water twice? Because that means he had to turn around and walk with Jesus back on the water in order to get back in the boat. In other words, he went from accomplishing to sinking and back to accomplishing again. I profess over you that God wants some of us in here to know that we started off well. We might have sank a little bit, but now God wants to raise you back up again and accomplish what you started with. Hallelujah. Look at this. Hallelujah. Woo. Those are done. I want you to capture the lyrics. I know we've been singing it, but I want you to capture the lyrics. You call me out upon the waters, the great unknown, where feet may fail. And there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith will stand. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters, wherever you will call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Somebody say amen. We took our leadership team and they're just blurting out this song, service after service. And I'm telling you, by the time we had the last services, we're just weeping. We're just crying out to God. And all of us caught a different phrase in the song. But that little part in that song was affecting me. Is, you know, just don't let my, you know, my feet wander. Look, it says, take me deeper than my feet could ever wander. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander. I don't want to be enslaved. I don't want to be out here wandering. I want to go deeper where God is calling me. And it's going to take for me to be strong and courageous. You know why there's 11 people in the boat and one out the boat? Because they needed to get a revelation that Jesus was in the water. And if you trust the one in the water, you will go to wherever he is. Don't be afraid. Do not be dismayed. You're not going to be forsaken. God will go with you wherever you go. Only be strong and courageous. How do we accomplish what we have never seen before? You see, our link and the requirement is courage. You see, up until this point, I've just been hollering and spitting and trying to get you to say amen. But before we go, I just want to maybe deal with what's on the inside. maybe just want to plant a seed in you. Because up until now, you just think it's kind of religious rigor. It's like Super Bowl spiritual Sunday. You know what? Let's get serious. Because maybe we need to investigate, are we being courageous? Are we really truly being courageous? Say courageous. Look at this. Daring greatly. This is research discovered by Dr. Brené Brown, who is a research professor, speaker, and author. So let's pay attention to this. The book is Daring Greatly. So courage is daring greatly. It's what it is and what it's not. The book deals with daring greatly. Say daring greatly. Turn to your neighbor and say, we need to learn how to dare greatly. Because when I dare greatly, I demonstrate courage. Now hear me. Courage is demonstrated, I call it like in the Klingons of Star Trek. Right? Can I get any Trekkies in here? Amen? You know, Klingons was a weird group, but there's something I liked about them. Is that they had a type of honor that they would give to being courageous. They would go one person on one little battleship against a whole Starfleet, but they was not going to back down because it was greater honor to be courageous. And I just believe that sometimes we need some genuine, what God told Joshua, to be strong and courageous, to have some honor. Hallelujah. Because everyone wants to be brave, but no one wants to. Am I talking to anybody? You know what? When it talks about being courageous, courage is demonstrated because everybody wants to be brave, but no one wants to be imperfect. How many understand that would just shatter some of our internal being if somebody said, oh, no, you're wrong. Oh, no, I'm not. They did this because that's what happened to me when I was little. How many understand we've got challenges? Because we all want to be brave, but we don't want to fail, and nobody wants to be what? Because nobody wants to be uncool. There is no courage, though. Listen, there is no courage without failure. That's just great teaching. That's character building. There is no courage without failure. So therefore, this is what paralyzes us not to act upon the things that we say God has given us. We believe God said it. We believe God said get married. We believe God said put in for that resume. Put that in for that job. But because we're afraid of being rejected, or because we're afraid we don't measure up, my God, we won't even do it. And God says, I will be with you. How many understand you cannot gain the promises of God unless you go into the promised land? Isn't that a good word? How many understand? Your marriage is going to be built better when you take it to a counselor or a premarital counselor, or sit down with an older couple, or spend some time together and say, honey, I've got some things going on with me. It's not about you. It's about me. Is anybody with me at all? Say courage. We're almost there. I'm almost trying to leave. Listen to this. Jim Collins says this. We're afraid of the ambiguity. We're afraid of the ambiguity. I'm going to leave us with this. It's vulnerability. Deonis, vulnerability. Say vulnerability. Listen, it's vulnerability. In the most simplest way of understanding vulnerability is that we put ourselves in situations of uncertainty. That we'll be willing to put ourselves in situations of risk. Starting to get some of y'all. And get this, vulnerability means that I will be emotionally what? How many know that was just hard for some of us even to say? we're dealing with a particular couple, a particular marriage right now, or particular people, they are too afraid because they don't want to be emotionally exposed anymore. How many understand that if you want to gain the promises, you're going to have to go with vulnerability? Because guess what? Vulnerability is courage. Vulnerability is what? Do you not think that they had, you know, back in the day, that for the rest of their lives, they could, you know, talk about Peter? Man, you better get up out of here. You all sank all up in the water and stuff. Right? You know what? Man, Peter, you better be quiet before I make you go out into the water. How many of you could have been talking like that, right? Emotionally exposed. The risk he took. The vulnerability he went through. Every head bowed. Every head bowed. Every head bowed. Every head bowed. Lord Jesus Christ. We believe that you are God, Lord Jesus, and we believe that you have promises that are yes and amen. Lord, we've come to believe in this ministry and with those under the sound of my voice that your grace, your grace, your grace, your grace comes from Jesus. And Jesus has given us grace for every situation. Grace for anything we go into and everything we go through. Lord, we believe that you have prophesied to many of us. We believe when that group of mothers and elders came around me and they prayed over my baby, they prayed over the baby in my womb, they believed God for and with me. Lord, I thank God for the pastors of that church that came to me when we didn't have very much. We were all out of money and we were all out of food, and they just poured out graciously, one grace after another, blessing us, and we didn't even have the strength to say we were in need. But Lord, for one that has been hurt and wounded, relationship after relationship, I'm so hurt, I'm so in pain that I don't even want to be in a relationship again. Lord Jesus Christ, we pray that in this room right now, there is an ocean where feet may fail. But Lord God, we believe that whatever you said we could do, we can accomplish it. And God, because you're with us, even if we sink or fail, you lift us back up again. We believe, Jesus, that the miracle was not walking out of the boat, but it was also walking back to the boat. And therefore, God, we pray that you would be healer in this room. To the one that has been hurt, to the one that has suffered loss, we ask that there be willingness to be vulnerable again. That they would be willing to be courageous, to be strong. I pray that you would anoint their minds, that they would become dangerously, greatly daring to do what is right. We ask, Lord God, these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you rise to your feet?
Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. You walk upon the waters wherever you would call me, and take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders.
thank you for today in Jesus' name. We walk out empowered and equipped to know that we can be strong and very courageous. And my courage is in dependency of me being vulnerable to possess the promises. All these things we surrender and submit to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you give God a big praise offering in Jesus' name? Would you shout it out? Say, be strong and only courageous.